Here are the directions for part two. In this part, you will hear five passages, A through E. Each passage will be followed by two questions, number 11 through number 20. For each question, you will have 10 seconds to choose the best answer and mark your answer on your answer sheet. The passage and the questions will be given only once. Now, let's begin.
A. The Great Salt Lake. The Great Salt Lake, a large U.S. lake known for its high salt content, could disappear within 5 years, scientists warn. Normally, the lake undergoes some evaporation during summer, but it recovers after being fed by melting snow from nearby mountains. Dramatic population growth in the surrounding area, however, means more water is being diverted away from the rivers that carry this snowmelt to the lake and directed instead toward businesses, residences, and farmland. Rising temperatures due to climate change exacerbate the problem, as the increased heat means more mountain snow turns directly into water vapor rather than melting. Scientists are worried about the lake's diminishing water level. For one, the salt content is becoming too concentrated for the lake to support local insects and prey animals. This then endangers the millions of birds that feed on them. Perhaps the greatest concern, however, is that the lake bed contains toxic metals left over from past mining activity. Without water covering the lake bed, dust containing these metals could become airborne and put local residents at risk of respiratory diseases and cancers. According to scientists, drastically reducing local water consumption is vital to avoiding a catastrophe.
Questions. Number 11. According to the speaker, what is one problem facing the Great Salt Lake? Number 12. What is one concern that scientists have with regard to the lake? B. Internally displaced persons. In recent years, the global refugee crisis has gained international attention as millions of people displaced by famine, conflict, and government persecution have sought shelter in foreign countries. Less well known, however, are internally displaced persons, or IDPs. These are also people who have been forced to flee their homes, but they are distinguished from refugees by the fact that they have not crossed an international border. People are often in this situation because their escape has been cut off in a war zone, or they lack the financial means to transport themselves across an international boundary. Unfortunately, they are particularly vulnerable because treaties designed to ensure the well-being of refugees do not apply to those who are unable to escape their home nation. While some countries have enacted laws to ensure the rights of IDPs, these laws are often ineffective in cases where such people are persecuted by their own governments. When this happens, or during outbreaks of serious violence, it can be exceedingly difficult to provide them with urgently needed assistance. IDPs often flee to isolated areas or attempt to conceal themselves, making it nearly impossible for aid workers to locate them. According to experts, much greater international cooperation is needed to tackle the IDP issue.
Questions. Number 13. What is one reason that people become IDPs? Number 14. Why can it be difficult to help IDPs?
C. Jean-Baptiste Say. The French economist Jean-Baptiste Say was born in 1767. As a young man, he was inspired by Adam Smith, who is sometimes referred to as the father of capitalism. Like Smith, Say believed in the benefits of free markets and was critical of financial interference by governments. He is best known for Say's Law of Markets, which suggests there will always be a demand for goods, so markets naturally self-regulate. Say became an advisor to the French government, and Say's law was widely accepted in the West. Free market economics remained popular into the early 1900s, but the Great Depression, which started in the United States in 1929, raised doubts regarding Say's law. The economist John Maynard Keynes argued that Say's law was unable to explain such a severe economic downturn, and that the only way to ensure economic recovery was to use government spending to prop up industries and provide jobs. This approach was appealing during the Great Depression, as U.S. citizens increasingly demanded that the government take decisive steps to alleviate the economic situation. As a result, measures were implemented based on Keynes's ideas, which then guided economic policies for decades to come.
Questions. Number 15. What does the speaker say about Jean-Baptiste Say? Number 16. Why did the United States adopt John Maynard Keynes's ideas?
D. Canada's candy bar protests. Following the end of World War II, Canadian chocolate makers faced a dilemma. During the war, the government had offered subsidies to manufacturers of various products and had set wage and price freezes in order to control inflation. When these policies were scrapped, however, shortages of raw materials, especially cocoa, caused production costs to soar. Soon, the price of a chocolate bar was raised from 5 to 8 cents. Overnight, chocolate bars became unaffordable for many children. The boys and girls of Canada were so angry that protests sprang up nationwide. There were street demonstrations, petitions, and gatherings in front of government buildings. At first, there was widespread public approval of the protests. Newspapers wrote editorials condemning the chocolate company's actions, and some shop owners refused to sell chocolate bars. However, during this period, there were widespread fears of Soviet influence in the Western world. Rumors began to circulate that the protesters were being supported by communists, who hoped to destroy North America's capitalist society and convert people to communism. Newspaper editorials turned against the children, and groups that had previously backed the children withdrew their support. Gradually, the movement faded away, and chocolate bar prices remained high.
Questions. Number 17. What was the reason for the chocolate bar price increase? Number 18. What is one thing we learn about the protests?
E. Trouble on the Thames. Throughout London's history, the River Thames has served as a commercial waterway that has allowed the city to flourish economically. Unfortunately, during the Industrial Revolution, the river also became a convenient place to dump industrial waste. Even worse, London's sewage system, which was built in the 1800s, was not designed to deal with the city's rapidly growing population, so excess human waste frequently overflowed into the river. Concentrations of toxic pollutants in the water increased, and oxygen levels dropped to the extent that the river could no longer sustain life. Local wildlife either escaped or perished, and in 1957, the Thames was declared biologically dead by London's Natural History Museum. Additionally, the river began to lose economic relevance for London in the 1960s, when larger ships requiring deeper water became the standard for international shipping. This led to the closure of many shipyards, and formerly prosperous riverside industrial neighborhoods were eventually abandoned, causing unemployment rates to rise. By the 1990s, however, efforts by government agencies and private organizations to address these problems began to pay off. Cleanup projects have once again made the river habitable for fish and aquatic mammals, and redevelopment of riverside areas is bringing people back to the river.
Questions. Number 19. What is one thing the speaker says? Number 20. What caused economic problems for the riverside industrial areas?